Hey mama, welcome to the Happy Vibes Mama podcast. I'm Courtney. I'm a mom with two littles, obsessed with sharing my journey and experience with other moms to connect, celebrate, and grow a village that we all so desperately need. Motherhood can be lonely and changing the way you parent can be hard, but you don't have to do it alone. Of course, this podcast is all about motherhood, so we'll talk about being intentional with our time, preparing every day for the best case or not so great scenarios, and learning to trust your gut in all of the daily chaos. But that's not all. Motherhood can bring up new emotions like anxiety and even uncover things from our childhood that we don't want to pass on to our kids. So here at Happy Vibes Mama, the goal is to bring you tangible tips and tricks to build up your confidence in motherhood and provide a safe space so that we can figure this all out together. I've got your back, Mama, always, and I'm so happy you're here. So let's dive in. Welcome to the Happy Vibes Mama podcast. Hello, and welcome to episode 10 of the Happy Vibes Mama podcast. I cannot believe that I have recorded 10 episodes. This is so exciting. I am so grateful for everyone who has shared their stories with me, have messaged me with encouragement and excitement about things that they've connected with or things that they want to learn about, and just overall supporting this podcast and my journey. So without further ado, let's jump in to some tips, tricks, and strategies that have helped me get through my personal journey and motherhood to be the best version of Courtney that I can be. Today, we're actually going to talk about the ABC modification that I learned about in college. This falls under the umbrella of applied behavior analysis, also known as ABA. And for those of you who don't know, I went to college to be a special education teacher. And so this is a hot topic right now in the special education world, specifically within the autism community of autistic adults who are speaking out against ABA. So I'm not here to debate if ABA is a good thing or a bad thing. I honestly was not in the teaching world long enough to even say that I used anything that I learned about ABA in my college time. However, I learned a lot about just how the ABC modification works, and I've used it a lot to really just look at what I am doing as a parent and how it's affecting my kids and how I can do things better. So whether or not you agree with ABA, you don't agree, that's not really what we're here to talk about today. I just wanted to use this method as a place to start of explaining a strategy that you can use if you're trying to decide how you can be a better parent. So just to explain the framework a little bit, ABC basically is looking at the antecedent, the behavior, and then the consequence. So it is used in education and with psychologists to provide a systematic way to look at the antecedent or the event that happened prior to a behavior. And then the behavior is an action that the student took that was observable. So I actually use this in parenting because if my almost 5-year-old is having a meltdown or my 2.5-year-old is clearly upset but can't tell me what's going on, I want to see if there's something that I did or that happened prior to them getting upset or whatever the case may be that I can either avoid in the future or prepare for in the future. So again, I don't use this in a way to modify their behavior, more so how I could be better prepared. If that antecedent or the before event is something that is reoccurring or is something that I could modify or avoid altogether. Okay, so to paint this picture, the antecedent or the before event that happens is what triggers, we'll say, the behavior. And the behavior is something that we are observing. Maybe it's something that is undesirable or something that is desirable that we want to see happen again in the future. Or, like I said, it's just something that you're observing and you're like wondering if you can do something to help your child get through that behavior. And then the consequence is not necessarily a negative thing. So if you hear the word consequence and you immediately think it's like a negative, like they're going in timeout or they are in trouble, that's not what it is used for. In this case, it is just what is the event that happens after the behavior. So because the behavior happened, what is the consequence? So I'm going to give you a couple examples that are just on this site that I'm looking at. It's thoughtco.com, but these are for teachers and students. But I just want to give you some examples. So the first one is the antecedent. The student is given a bin filled with parts to assemble and asked to assemble the parts. The behavior is that the student throws the bin. And then the consequence is that the student is given a timeout until he calms down and then must later pick up the pieces before being allowed to return to classroom activities. Another example, the teacher asks the student to come to the board to move a magnetic marker. The student bangs her head on the tray of her wheelchair. The teacher attempts to soothe the student by redirecting the behavior with a preferred item, such as a favored toy. Those, of course, are very specific to classroom and might not be things that you're going to experience in your home anyway. And again, those are focusing just on the child's behavior and how the child reacts and the child's consequence. So I want to flip that script a little bit and talk about how, as a parent, I can look at the antecedent, the behavior, and the consequence, and how I can adjust things to better the environment for the entire family. So I'm going to give you two examples of what could happen, and then we're going to talk through some things that you could maybe try and do different. So maybe you're in a situation that you are going to ask your children to clean up when they are in the middle of watching their preferred screens, or they are still actively playing with something and it's just you do a normal afternoon cleanup, it's time for afternoon cleanup. So they need to put everything else away, but they could still continue playing with what they are playing with when they're done. Or maybe you're asking them to come inside when they've been playing outside, anything of that nature. So you're asking them to stop a preferred activity to do something, even if it's a routine that they're used to, they're in their preferred activity mindset. And so they're really enjoying that. They want to keep doing that. The antecedent is that I'm asking them to clean up, to stop doing what they're doing, etc. The behavior of what they are going to do is that either one, they ignore completely because maybe they just truly didn't hear me, or maybe they're purposely ignoring because they obviously don't want to stop doing what you're asking them to do, or they're going to say no. In both of those situations, the consequence probably is going to look like myself getting frustrated, myself getting escalated in the situation, getting upset, and then in turn, they are getting upset and getting escalated with the situation. In the end, we waste a ton of time maybe yelling or being upset with one another and not showing effective communication. And at the end, yes, they're probably still going to have to do the initial thing that I asked them to do, but now we're all in a bad mood. So things that you could consider doing differently to change that antecedent instead of focusing on the behavior that they are showing is, rather than just asking them to clean up while they're in the middle of watching their iPad, I can first ask them to pause their iPad. Like, it's such a simple little thing, but it could make the world of difference because, like I said, I could be asking them to clean something up and they don't hear me, but I don't know that they don't hear me, and they're not at the age yet that they can tell me that they didn't hear me, which then, of course, escalates my feelings, right? And so you can see how easy something like just pausing their iPad first and then talking about what you need them to do next can make all the difference. Another thing that you can do is using a timer. So I'm probably going to talk a lot about timers on future episodes. We use them all the time in our house. This is a really great way to have a transition time from one activity to another with a hard stop or a hard boundary being set. So saying something like, okay, Victoria and Ellie, it is almost time for our afternoon cleanup. I am going to give you 3 more minutes to do whatever you're currently doing. When the timer goes off, I need you to start cleaning this up. Alexa, set a timer for 3 minutes. Alexa sets the timer for 3 minutes, and when the Alexa alarm goes off, I kid you not, my kids pause their iPads or put down whatever they're doing, and they start cleaning. It's like, there's just something magical about timers and Alexa. I know it'll wear off eventually, probably, but for right now, it really works. And truly, it works for me too. If I am feeling like I don't want to do something, like the dishes, because I'd rather sit on the couch and scroll TikTok, I'll set myself an Alexa timer, and then there's just something magical about that timer going off. I can close down the TikTok app, and I magically have the energy and motivation to go do the dishes. Maybe it's my ADHD. Maybe this is just how people function now. But whatever it is, use that with your children too, because timers can be a really quick and easy way to put that transition time in so that they are not being abruptly stopped doing what they currently want to do to something that they maybe don't want to do, like cleaning up. And my last tip is to first identify any other needs that may come up before even asking them to do whatever you're about to ask them to do. My four almost five-year-old, Victoria, still has potty issues sometimes. We have quite a few accidents. However, they're almost always like emotionally driven. So she'll get upset about something and then all of a sudden she needs to go to the bathroom and she can't make it to the bathroom on time. And then she has a full-blown meltdown because now not only is she upset about something that was happening, but she's also had an accident. So she's embarrassed, upset with herself, etc. So if I know that I'm going to be asking her something that she doesn't like to do or that normally makes her upset in any way, I will first ask her to go to the bathroom. This is another great way to add that transition time in. You can even add the Alexa and this. So you could say, Alexa, set a timer for 2 minutes. And then in 2 minutes, you're going to say, hey, Victoria, you need to go pee. And then Victoria's going to go pee. And then when she comes back to the room, that is when you can present whatever it is that you need to do next. You have now established a transition time. You've let her close up whatever activity she was working on. And you have removed her from the room completely. So then when she comes back, she's able to get into a new activity. This also, like I said, other needs. So bathroom break. Is it snack time or lunchtime or dinner time or any time of the day that your child is hangry? Because I don't know about you, but my toddlers are hangry 24/7. So a lot of times using a snack or their meal as the transition will also work. So again, having them pause their iPad or stop whatever game that they're playing or put their book down so that they first have your attention. Then you can say, I'm going to give you 2 more minutes to do said activity. Alexa, set a timer for 2 minutes. And when that timer goes off, I need you to come meet me in the kitchen so that we can have our breakfast, lunch, dinner, snack. That is another great way to, again, put those transitions in and change of environment while still honoring their desire to finish their activity. What's really cool about this is that when you, one, start to get into a routine of doing these things, they come so naturally to you that you're like, how did I, like, why was I not doing this before? And when I fall out of these routines, when I go to get back into them, I'm like, why did I forget how easy it is to set a timer? But the other thing that's really cool is that this allows your child to start voicing their needs and wants. And so a lot of times I just, you know, forget that my kids might be involved in something in their own little world playing, and I'm disrupting that. And just like I don't like when people disrupt me, they don't like it either. By allowing them to finish out that activity, they're going to start to learn that they can ask for that. And so as they get older, Victoria has already started doing this, where I'll, you know, ask her to do something, ask her to put something away, and she'll be like, but mommy, can I finish this first? Yes, of course you can. You have 3 minutes. Can you finish up in 3 minutes? No, mommy, I need 5 minutes. Okay, awesome. 5 minutes, timer set, then I need you to do XYZ. And it's now giving them the ability to have that communication and build on that confidence in asking for things when they need it too. It's giving them the sense of independence where they are able to do things that maybe you didn't even know your kids could do. My 2.5-year-old can clean up all by herself. If she's playing Play-Doh in the kitchen, it gets put away before I even ask her to do it. So things like this can start to allow them that independence that you might not even need to ask them to do them, because once they get in their routine as well, they're going to start to do it on their own. So I hope that these tips and tricks today will help you to not necessarily change every behavior that's going on in your home, but to start to look at, are there things that I can change, just a small thing, that will help me get closer to the desired outcome that I want? Whether that is adding in transitions with Alexa timers, or maybe it is asking your child to go to the bathroom every single time that you think they might get upset. Who knew? I just had to tell her to pee every day. But whatever the case may be, I hope that you find some things that you can work on and you can better, because we are all here to be the best versions of ourselves. And when you know better, you can do better. I hope you have a great week.
Mommy.
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 Mommy. Mommy.
Well, that's my cue, and probably yours too. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of Happy Vibes Mama Podcast. I hope you know how excited I am to be connecting with you on this podcast. Remember, I've got your back, always. I hope this episode hit you in your feels or got the energy flowing so that you can make it until bedtime tonight. So please, if you love this podcast, it would mean the world to me if you shared it with your friends. Because after all, every mama needs her village. So go ahead and share it on social media and tag me. And yes, go do it right now so that you don't forget. I'm so excited to be on this motherhood journey with you, mama. Chat with you soon.